Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
I'll invite our preacher for today. This is Pastor FPO Moses Musinga.
Glory to God. Happy Easter. Hallelujah. The word Easter appears once in the Bible, in some versions,
somewhere in Acts,
isn't it?
You don't know.
Somewhere in Acts, isn't it? Who are the Bible, whatever here? Yeah, it's in KJV, it appears once. However, it wasn't supposed to be that word Easter. It wasn't supposed to be that word Easter. But some people somehow conjured it in there. It's supposed to be another festival, not Easter. Amen? Yeah, you can put it there. It was supposed to be another term, not Easter. I think it was supposed to be Passover. But some religious guys, you understand? Now, that is one of the advantages of having what? A little bit of understanding about the what? The original, now, in some versions, it is Easter. In some versions, especially I think KJV, the old one. Now, new KJV, the directive, you understand? Yeah, there are so many things which some guys try to mess up with the Bible, which is very sad. Amen. However, slowly and slowly, things are being what? Recovered. Actually, most of them have to a degree. The other thing about the Bible, like all the books, all the books which are supposed to be in the Bible are there. They're all there. However, the order, again, some guys, especially Catholics, messed up the order of those books. You guys, you should be very careful with the Catholic Church. It is not as innocent as it's trying to act. Those fellows. Now, of course, the guys on the ground, Bambi, are innocent. Some of them are ignorant. But the real guys who are running that organization are very deadly chaps. Amen? Yeah, right now, they are rounding off the Anglican Church. I was listening on NTV on Friday, and some Anglican church guy was saying, yeah, we know, it's called, that's where they walk with the cross. What is it called? Way of the cross. How they say, yeah, we're together. If you come from Anglican, the Pope is for all of us. That's what those Anglican guys were saying. The priest was saying, yeah, the Pope is not only for the Catholic, he's also for us, the Anglican, you understand? Anyway, now these Anglican chaps are innocent. Some of them, the leaders are not. The leaders are not. Amen? And be careful when you are, when you're dealing with those chaps. Man, Jesus is coming back. Jesus, that's why there are all these things, a great move, to mess up the church. Amen? So that you all go back under what? Under the Pope. That is what is happening now. Paul had a dream this month, when God was showed him what the Pope's visit to Uganda was all he intended to do. There are some things he did with some other chaps in the Vatican, that side, before he came here. He saw it in a dream last month, long after he had left. And man, it was a very evil move. Don't try to be nice to devils. Okay? We're being nice. You're being nice to devils and what? You'll be messed up. Amen? And to begin with, God won't be happy. Amen? God doesn't want you to have any relationships with devils. He wants you to have relationships with angels. Amen? With good people. Not evil people like the Pope. Okay? Glory be. It's the truth. He's evil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, happy Easter. Eh? It's a good day because we remember. At least, on this day, at least people recognize that Jesus rose again. Eh? It is not the real day, but at least that attention is drawn to the cross and the resurrection. Eh? Glory be to God. Amen? Yeah, God is good. Yeah, if you are a Catholic, and you're born again. Now, there are some Catholics who are born again. However, they are under a messed up system. You understand? They are under a messed up, but God knows their heart that they really accepted the Lord. But they are under a messed up system, and you wonder what they are doing there. Hmm? If you're a visitor here, and you're what? You're born again and you attend a Catholic church. I advise you, leave that place. Amen. Now, I'm not saying come here, go to some other one. You understand? And, and now when you leave that place, right now the way things are moving, don't even go to an Anglican church. Now, if you're in an Anglican church, you know, it's okay for now. But if you're crossing from Catholic, don't jump it, because the whole thing is becoming the same man. You understand? By all means, I believe in some of these Anglicans, you know, they are born again. You understand? Some of them, not all of them. Some reverend are not born again. It's just a job, a career, you understand? But they know nothing. They don't have Jesus in their hearts. Even what they read, someone tells them what to preach on a certain Sunday. They know nothing. Amen? But if I got an opportunity, I would go to whatever. To an Anglican church. You understand? I'm not against, you understand? I would go. I mean, there are some people who are planning to wed and they are going to wed in those churches. I will come, you know? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Yeah. Amen. Man, this thing, there's no room to being nice. Amen? Yep. I remember years ago, my dad, I was in, I think, P7 or something like that. And my dad was forcing me to go to church. St. Andrew, Bukoto, yeah. But I'll tell him, but go to church for what? I know everything. It's amazing. If you're not born again, you think you know everything. But in a sense, you're right, based on what goes on in those churches. And I'll tell my buddies, I know everything. Because to me, I was like, all that is required of people is to be good. It's to be good. Be good. So you need to go to church to learn. We learn what? I know everything. You know, yeah? So now he would force me to go with him. And somehow he knew that if we get there, I would like exit and chill until the service is done. So he would give me his hymn books. The hymn book and Enjatula, you know that book? The prayer, that's what it's called in English, the prayer book. So as we go, he would hand over, you know, to me. To what? Now you can't disappear when you have the guy's Enjatula and what? And that book. You see, that's our what? Yeah. Glory be to God. And I don't remember anything I learned. Nothing. Until on campus second year, when I got born again. Amen? Yeah. Some of you are not happy with what I've said, but, I mean, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now, John chapter 2. By the way, give a big hand clap to the praise and worship team. Amen. You've done a wonderful job. Amen. So again, every time you come to church on Sunday, be expectant. Amen. And come to worship. Don't come to spectate. Don't come to do nothing else. Come to worship the Lord. And together, we shall move to that level of excellence in worship that the Lord wants us to go. Okay? Glory be to God. Eh? They call it a tendo. Tugenda kuba ki? Tugenda kuba a tendo. Glory to God. Yeah, there's some guy here who doesn't want, Uganda speaking churches. But those guys are nice. Hallelujah. They're not like Catholic churches. Hallelujah. Now, John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 23 and 24. It is Easter. It is not really Easter. It is resurrection, Jesus said, but Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Then he said, most assuredly, I say to you, read. It remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. It says, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Now this Jesus was speaking about himself. In a short while after that, he was going to be crucified. He was going to die and die for you. Amen? Now, in this scripture, he's referring to himself as a seed. Amen? He's referring to himself as what? As a seed. A grain of wheat. And he says that when he dies, amen, he will resurrect, amen. But now, it will not be just only him. He was speaking about me and you. Glory be to God. Amen? That seed that will die so that there can be a harvest of more seeds. Glory be to God. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Amen? That whoever believes in him should not die, but should have, eternal life. Amen? He gave his only Son, amen, so that you can get more sons. Glory be to God. So this is essentially what this verse is saying. Amen? John chapter 12, verse 23 and 24. Amen? Basically, especially verse 24. Now, the way I got to cram verse 24 years ago, not really cramming, but the way I go to, it's easy for me to remember it. You know why? Something interesting, which is not deep, but to me it's smart. No, you can't ask me what John 12 of 24 says, and I don't know. This one I can't forget. It says, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. So it's talking about sowing and then increase. Now, the way I go to, the way I remember it is 12 times 2 is 24. You had seen it? You had it? Did you know it? Isn't that interesting? Anyway, it is not a deep thing, but it is intriguing. Now, years ago, that's why you can't ask me John 12 of 24, and I don't know. I just quoted 12 times 2, 24. Hallelujah. You see, Jews believe that there is no meaningless detail in the Bible. Even a word, even a letter, what follows the word, you understand? Now, if a Jew was here, he would tell me, come, let us write a book. You say, wow, this is very serious. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now, the reason why Jesus died, Amen? He came to seek and save the lost. Amen? It all began in the Garden of Eden when Adam disobeyed God and he fell. You remember? He sinned. And because he sinned, we all sinned. You remember sowing and what? Reaping. Eh? What you sow, amen, someone else might reap it long after you're gone. Eh? So Adam sowed disobedience and we reaped. Eh? You know, a sinful life, a sinful. Yeah. But good news is it didn't end that. Jesus came, the Bible says, by one man's obedience, you know, many will be made righteous. Eh? Okay? So, in the Garden of Eden, you know, Adam fell. Eh? You know, Adam fell. So many things happened. Okay? He was separated from God. Eh? You know, eh? Separated from God. All the calamity you see in the world now eh? Is essentially because of that. Hmm? It is because of that. Eh? Now, you can look at it as like it was a very simple thing. Eh? Just disobeying in a small thing. Eh? But there's nothing like disobeying small. That small thing can mess you up. Eh? Hmm? Especially if you know the clear will of God about a matter. Huh? And God sees you that you have some level of maturity. You understand? Eh? You mess up those small things, especially God said, Nakugamba, you know. You know, eh? Those things are messed up, people. And they look and they think that meeting a prophet will solve that issue. Eh? But man, there's some things which cannot be solved until there has been a full reaping of what was what? Very serious thing. Eh? Hmm? It's more eating a food. You know, eh? Small thing, but to this day. Huh? By the way, Adam is in heaven. Eh? Okay, if he's not in heaven, he's going to heaven. Eh? You know that? Well, Rick Joyner met and they talked. Eh? He's in heaven. Eh? The guy, he accepted, you know, the coming sacrifice of Jesus. Eh? Amen? But he's, you know, he regrets what he did. Eh? It's in the final, the final quest of the call. Eh? Isn't it? One of those books. Eh? He met Adam, he told, you know. But one of the things Adam told him was that issue to do with what? Authority. Eh? And the responsibility that comes with authority. Hmm? And the greater the authority, the greater the responsibility. The greater the consequences of your actions. Adam was the head of the human race. Now that is, he was the top, you know. Eh? You know. So now his actions, because he has great authority, his actions have to have great consequences. Hmm? Now, when you learn this, you will be very slow in seeking to subdue, to control people. You understand? Wanting to control, you want to, you know, everything, you want to be the head, you understand? If you understand this, you'll be very slow. You only accept the authority that God gives you. Amen? Anyone who feels great when they are elevated. Now, there's a good whatever in that. The God decided. But if it is an evil sense of greatness about you because you've been like uplifted, you know, you don't understand what authority is. You don't understand what authority is. Because, man, now you have too much responsibility. Hmm? And your actions are going to mess up people. Okay? So only take the authority that God gives you. Hmm? Amen? Don't seek to control anybody. You understand? Don't seek to subdue people. Eh? There are some people, man, everyone they get around, they wanna subdue them. You know, eh? They want to control. Now, sometimes it's just a sign of insecurity. Someone is insecure inside, so they wait whatever is true. You know, everyone they come across. Sometimes when you see them talking to someone, you're like, now I hope these people discern that the controlling project has begun. You see, they want to control now. Now, they hurt people who jump out of those traps. When someone say, man, I'm uncontrollable. You can't, what? They hate it. You see, But anyway, yeah. Now, one of the things Adam lost also when he fell, and that thing also Jesus came to restore. Jesus did not only come to give us a righteous life, eternal life, but he also came to give us back what Adam lost. You know that, Amen? Really, what I'm talking about, moving money, you understand? And some of you can talk about these things better than I can. Anyway, Genesis chapter 3, 17, 19. Amen? Jesus came to restore unto us prosperity also. Amen? Jesus didn't delight in your being broke. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. He doesn't delight in that. He doesn't delight in you in being in lack. It is one of the reasons why he came to restore everything that Adam lost. Amen? The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse what? 17. 17 to 19, it says, Then to Adam, God said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat it. Then it says, cast is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. Then it goes on. Amen? Because you have heeded the voice of your wife. Now, one of the things here is what? Adam knew the will of God. You see, he knew. Then his wife, he heeded now the voice of his wife. Amen? Now, couples, you had better be very careful. These things of unity together, you know, by the way, if you're going to get married, please go for marriage counseling, but please go, okay? In fact, most churches can't even wed you if you haven't, what? But don't believe everything you're told. Amen? This is nonsense, that you say everything. You are no secret. Man, that stuff is nonsense. Why is that in the scripture? No, see, you have to say everything. Blah, blah, blah. You have to tell your spouse. Not like if you're a guy. You have to tell your spouse how many girlfriends you have ever had, how many you slept with, how many times. Blah, blah, blah. That's rubbish. Then they give reasons, apparent reasons why it's good to declare all that info. Man, I give you advice. Don't do that. Like especially in that area. How many girlfriends you ever had? Blah, blah, blah. How many boyfriends? How many slept with? Please don't, what? Don't say, I'm telling you, anyway, the point I'm trying to make, don't accept all the counseling you're receiving. I know now women, especially couples who are here, they're not happy because you're like, now the guy is not going to tell me stuff. You understand? Amen? Because women, you want to know where your boyfriend is, which girlfriend, blah, 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 you know. Okay, you share that info, you tell me one day. Amen? So, go for marriage counseling, but don't believe everything they tell you. Just like here in church, right, like today. You don't have to believe everything I'm saying. Brother, you don't. This is not a Catholic church. Where you say the Pope has said, then you have to believe. This is not a Catholic church. This is not a place to control people. The Catholic church is all about control. Now, the Anglicans are gone now. They have entered the control room. Seriously? and some Pentecostals. Amen? Like that guy, what's his name? James Robinson was some fellow. And some other guys, very many, you know. Yeah? So, he came to give us back what? Prosperity. Yeah? But this is very serious. Eh? You can think, the prosperity. The reason why you want a promotion is because you have more money. Amen? The reason why you don't, one of the reasons why you don't like your boss is because he didn't give you as much money as you want. You understand? Eh? Amen? The reason why you don't like your landlord is because the thought of him, just means money. Amen? The reason why you don't like some tribes is because you think you're broke because of them. Can you imagine? You understand? Eh? So, this is very important. Eh? And like Paul and Peter said, it's always good to put the brethren in remembrance of these things. Glory be to God. Amen? God delights in the prosperity of his servants. Amen? There's someone who once said that if God delights in the prosperity of his servants, how much more his children? How much more his children? Glory be to God. Amen? Amen? One of the reasons why, this is very, don't just get info from here, because right now, today, there's no any new info you're going to get. But there is, get wind of the Spirit. You understand? God delights in your prosperity. He delights in you having more than enough, so that you can take care of everything that concerns you. Amen? And also be a blessing to others. Glory be to God. Amen. Now, you should also get to a level that when there are some things you don't have, you would want to have, but you don't have them because you decided to be a blessing to someone else. You understand? You're like, I don't have what? Whatever. Because I was like, no, for the sake of somebody else. You see, otherwise, if you have this mentality that you first want to take care of everything that concerns you, man, prosperity will elude you. Amen? But, you have to, there's this thing of you don't have something because it has, the supply for it has never been there. Now, God wants to sort that out. You understand? But now after you've gotten to that level, you should get to this point whereby there are some things you'd want to have and you can have them. However, for the sake of others, you will say, I won't have that now. And you'll be able, now God loves that. Amen? 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 By the way, this prosperity thing is not difficult. Like I've already said, the whole thing is about being more concerned about others than yourself. But God is faithful. Amen? God is faithful. Your seed, that which you sow, will rise again. Amen? Jesus said it in John chapter 12, times 2, 24. What did he say? He said, most assuredly. That means that truly, truly, I say unto you. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. Then he gave this sure, he said, but if it dies, now you can bank on this. If it dies, it produces much grain. You can bank on this. Genesis 8, 22 says, as what? Amen? Those are yours. Sandra, you're supposed to know that scripture. And so, The ground was cast. The ground was cast. This is the ground from which food, was supposed to come from. Now it is cast. You know? And then he tells him, in toil, you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Now, if you are redeemed, it means you should not be toiling. You understand? You should not be toiling to get something to eat. You shouldn't. Amen? Then it says, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. Then it says, in the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread. Amen? Now this, if you're born again, this is supposed to be past tense for you. This is one of the reasons why we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. When he died and rose again, for your sake, he took care of this. Now it is supposed to be history in your life. Amen? See, probably at that, yes. I mean, if you have been probably at that, then we wouldn't be reading the Bible. But God has kept that Bible around. That Bible, Martin Luther cracked it. Augustine of where? Hippo. How those guys? Francis of where? Assisi. Catholics are now talking. Amen? They all cracked that same book, and it is still around. God has never added another book. Never added another book. Never what? Even preachers. You see, someone will come for 3 months and tell you about awareness, consciousness. You understand? Same stuff. You understand? But God wants people to hear that same stuff. Because he knows it's very important. Amen? There's a story of some guy, a preacher, who invited Kenneth Copeland years ago to his church for like a 1 week, whatever. So, day one, Kenneth Copeland opens Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Then talk about that. Day two, Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Day three. Man, this guy, the host was like, you guy. Then Copeland said, well, God wants me to continue saying it because you haven't yet gotten it. Now, faith is. But you should read that verse in the Amplified. It's wonderful. Don't put it there. You leave them alone. This is not a baby feeding project. Hallelujah. So Jesus came but if you're in this church, I'll say it over and over again, you're not supposed to be broke. It is not acceptable. It is not. Put the brethren in remembrance of these things. When we came here, how we got this venue as a church, someone dreamt. Dorothy dreamt when we were meeting here, and the people were meeting here on Sunday morning were stand church, people in training, in the dream. You understand? Now, that was talking about us. So God was saying, I've prepared a place for you, here. And, you'll be people in training to handle great wealth, to handle cash. You understand? This is what I'm saying. It is not allowed to be broke if you're in this church. You understand? Okay, for us, we don't allow it, but for you, you can allow it. You're like, for me, I'm kawa. That's okay. However, if you're kawa with it, then don't disturb anybody. You understand? Don't start, Anyway, when guys shower you with dust, you know, don't complain. When people don't give you a lift after church and it is so hot and you're like, how can they say they're born again? They're walking in love. How do you pass your brother then at that speed on a dusty road? Really? What kind of love is that? Don't what? Glory be to God. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. But these are very deep things. You guys, listen to all people who are called, to preach prosperity. Now, for example, Oedipo, you know, who is the man, that guy, he's in his own world. And by the way, you know, most of you know, he appointed me. You understand? The financial prosperity of overseer of this nation. So now I'm tackling a subject where it is my thing. You understand? Other guys have their things. What? Those, yeah? But this is what? And now, I'm dealing with it in a very simple manner, but this is essentially that. Glory be to God. Oedipo, every year, 12 months in a year, each month, he tackles one subject. So now, there's a month where he's only talking about financial prosperity. Now, if you listen to him, what he said in 204, 205, 206 for the month of prosperity, it is more or less the same. You understand? It is more, the difference is it carries greater authority each year. You understand? The spirit that comes with it to break the bondage of lack is greater each year. But the words, the examples, they are more or less the same. He will tell you how he was in the U.S. attending a conference one time, then the Lord appeared to him. Then he told him, go back home. Go back home to Africa and make my people rich. You see that over and over and over again. So when I tell you that when I was on campus, I had an audible voice. I had an audible voice telling me that if you joyfully obey the laws of the kingdom, which are the laws of giving and receiving, you will never see financial depression in your life. You understand? Now, if you just obey that law, you give prophets some breathing space. Because you're there trying to, you're looking for them to tell you what about your finances. And you know it why? You know joyfully, obeying the what? The laws of giving and receiving. You understand? But if you just live by the word of God, the problems people are going through, most of them can just be settled, you know, by just living according to the word of God. Seriously, Seriously. By just sowing good, just living according to the word of God, so you're sowing. So in 5 years to come, there's not really evil to reap, which will cause you to hunt down what? Prophets. You understand? But take this Bible seriously, you guys. I believe in visions, I believe in dreams, I believe in prophecies, I believe in those things. But man, this book will sort you out. You understand? Amen? Some of you have neglected it. Tempt us from our Bible. You understand? But you're looking for John Paul. Now, look for them. You understand? But look for them as you what? As you read the Bible. There should come a time. Anyway, you understand what I'm saying? Tomorrow, from our Bible. Not all of you, but a good number of you. You're there wasting time on your phone. Blah, blah, blah. You have Bibles. Why don't you read your Bibles on your phone? Now, some people are reading their Bibles on their phone. Then you're wasting it. You send them some big stuff to download, blah, blah, blah. You know, Now, send those things, I love them, especially if you send me stuff of, I won't tell you. But, please read your Bibles, Amen? You see, this law of sowing and reaping. Now, if you read your Bible and you live according to the word, you know, that's why it will sort you out. And then you live, then you'll be, so you won't make some errors, and then you'll even be sowing good for the future, So you reach a life where the only bad things happening in your life are just trials, which every child of God has to what? They're just trials. Just trials. And trials are meant for you to get a reward. And I've told you. Amen? Easter Sunday, your prosperity, was restored. Now you should be living in an abundance, especially if you're joyful obeying the Lord of giving and receiving. Amen? Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Sandra, you know it. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Rich meaning abundantly supplied. Jesus became poor. He was rich. Hallelujah. You understand? He became poor that you through his poverty might be rich. And to this day, by the way, you yourself, you're supposed to endeavor to live by this. You're rich. Amen? Then you decide to become poor. You understand? For the sake of someone else, to enrich someone else. So that someone else can have lunch. So in that sense, you become what? Poor. You understand? You're like, today I won't do this for this. I can't do it, but no. I can't do without it for the sake of my brother or my sister. Amen? So Jesus became poor. Remember, this is past tense. Amen? It says he made you rich. Amen? Now, how did Jesus become poor? Amen? There are two ways he became poor. Number one is that which he said in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, from verse 5 to 11. I'm going to read from KJV. Today, not from Amplified, because we don't have time. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men. By the way, Jesus was and he's God. There's some guy here who has begun studying the Trinity. Amen. When he's done understanding the Trinity, we shall bring him here and he tells us, man, that subject, the Trinity, to mess you up. But the Bible says God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was... Glory be to God. Jesus was and is God. But now, so you see God, Jesus, he's there in bliss, and then he comes down to this fallen earth. Now, he became poor. Amen? He became poor for your sake. He gave it, then he comes to earth. At a certain point, he was hungry. The Bible said, yes, I mean, you get hungry. This is God in the flesh. Then some guys, slapped him. Then one time they took off his robe, they took it. He became poor for your sake. Amen? Amen. No, he doesn't. That's why he doesn't delight in your in any person's lack, especially a child of his, because he became poor. That you might want. Yes. He doesn't delight in that. He doesn't delight that. Because in a sense, it means he didn't really accomplish the mission. I mean, this is God. You understand? When we're talking about your car boyfriend who's abroad, then one day he comes back on Christmas, whatever. It's season 2G. And you're going to say, no, he has become poor. He's from America. Now he has come to Uganda. Now the dust, blah, blah, blah. There is no person as wise as Kadaz, what? Most of these, what? Saman. Oh, Uganda. What's wrong with Uganda? Man, it's something if you listen to them, you say, no. Anyway, so, you know, he became what? That you might become? But these things are very serious, you guys. And there's nothing deeper. Now, Oedipo is the greatest prosperity preacher, but let me tell you, he doesn't say anything deeper than this. Because it is that essential. The difference is, like I said, every time he talks about it, it comes with greater authority to set the captives free. Hallelujah. And now, in Uganda, he appointed me. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So you had better take me seriously. Hallelujah. Amen. The other way he became poor was, you remember? When they put on him the crown of thorns. Remember, we read when the curse of poverty came on the ground. One of the things it was going to produce was thorns. You understand? You're supposed to cultivate an acre, you know, or whatever. Then now, half of it, now it is producing thorns. You understand? So, insufficiency. What is that called in economics? No, I think guys who studied economics are giving different answers. Amen? So, Mark chapter 15, verse 17 and 18 says, and they clothed him with purple. This purple is a royalty, you know. And they twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head and began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews. Amen. At that instant, Jesus became the king of poverty. Jesus became the king of poverty. And like we read, it was for your sake that you now might become the king of prosperity. Glory be to God. You know, there is no meaningless detail in the Bible. They had to get thorns because God wanted something to be symbolized. You understand? Now, this is why Jesus doesn't delight in anyone's luck. Doesn't. It hurts him. By the way, I listened to Jesse Duplantis, like 3 years ago, something like that. His experiences of heaven, you know. And he said that Jesus' worst day hasn't yet come. Jesus' worst, no. You can think that, you see now how I was in P7 telling my dad that I knew everything. I knew everything. Yet I even couldn't quote one scripture. In my head, you're like, the Bible is just talking about love, you know. Now, I was, you know, now, you know, you can get to you know everything. Now, I was also shocked. Jesus told Jesse Duplantis that my worst day has not yet come. You know, And he told him that my worst day that is coming is seeing the people I died for being eternally sent to hell. He said that is my worst day. His worst day wasn't, you know, when he came on earth, when he died on the cross, you know, he said, my worst day has not yet come. It hasn't. It is, the day is going to see people being eternally. You know, he said that is his worst. Because he didn't want anyone to go there, and he paid the price. Amen? Now, please, if you're here and you're not born again, amen, there's a tract you're going to be given at the end. There's a prayer there at the end. Please pray it. You understand? Jesus died for you. Amen? Now, for you are born again. Jesus also died that you might be prosperous. There's some of you who want me to get off that subject. You know, but they have come back. Now, those who are not born again, they'll get born again. But now you. Hallelujah. Money cometh to the body of Christ. That's brother who? Leroy. Brother Leroy. Now, Jesus' worst day, as far as the forgiveness of sins is concerned, it's coming. You know when people are going out? You know, on that final day. Amen? Now, but even right now, he's still hurting. He's still hurting, like when it comes to the children of God, you know, for whom he became poor, that they may become rich. And somehow, they are jamming to enter this what? To enter that realm of abundant provision, where they have more than enough. And by the way, please understand me, I'm not talking about having 10 cars, having 100 houses, having $1 billion. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about having your needs supplied, and having more to even be a blessing to others. Glory be to God. Amen. Your need might be just having a 2K for a taxi from Tinder to Nigeria. You are abundantly supplied. Amen. If you wish, God can take you higher to giving you a car or a bicycle. You understand? So it's not right to say someone who doesn't have a car is not prosperous. Amen. Anyone who says that is very stupid. It's very what? As far as that area is concerned. You understand? Now, if you have one car, and some people have more than one car, or they have a better kind of car. You understand? It is not right for them to say that you're not what? Again, that is stupidity. Now, the reason why prosperity is eluding the children of God is because that definition of prosperity is messed up. You understand? People are just covetous, you know? It is just that they say, hey, what phone? Then, I mean, you have a phone, you can call it. You have a Bible app. You understand? You have data. You have airtime. You're prosperous. No, don't look at Patricia's what age? Whatever. Then you start feeling, man, I'm prosperous. Because Patricia has a phone that she bought 2.8, you know? You're very stupid, man. No, with that thinking, you don't qualify for prosperity. You understand? You need to spend more time with me, so that I can what? I can wear all the nonsense in your head. Glory be to God. But most of you here are prosperous. But the reason is, you compare yourself one with another. This is what is messing you up. So you can't even be grateful of what you have. That's why God can't elevate you to another level of prosperity. You understand? You don't have a house, yes. But you're staying in a house. You're paying rent. Now, you're prosperous. You understand? You're prosperous. You know, eh? And now if you get that in your head and you're thankful, you're like, wow, I'm prosperous. Look where I stay, you know, Then go to, now you qualify. I can give him, you know, more stuff. But instead of enjoying your house you're renting, you're there just, I mean, every money you get, you're stashing it away so that you can build your own house. You know, you are not giving because you're like, the other year, the bag of cement was about 38 what? Because now, you know, by the time I build my house, it will be what, 40K. So now, you know, man, the things people are doing in their heads, it is ridiculous. People are not enjoying now. Enjoy now on your journey to where you're going. Glory be to God. Amen? So, amen? Jesus' worst day hasn't yet come. However, some things are hurting him even now. Amen? He doesn't delight in anyone's luck, especially his children. He delights in your prosperity. Amen? And in the word, he shows you how to operate in that realm of abundance. Glory be to God. Amen? Amen? So your seed, now, most of you, you've been sowing seed. Now, God wants you to know today that your seed will rise again. Amen? Your seed will rise again. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 24, that most assuredly, you understand, your seed will rise again. Amen? But this is what God wants you to know today. Your seed will rise again. You understand? Just like it was a grain of seed that died, and then when it came up, you know, it came up with more. All of you, you know, I harvest of the seed of Jesus that was sown. Amen? He says that in the same way, whatever you have sowed, amen, in love, he says that it will rise again. Glory be to God. Amen? So in these coming days, you must see financial increase in your life. Glory be to God. Because your seed must rise again and it doesn't come back the way it went. Amen? It comes back more glorious. Amen? Amen? More glorious and it comes back multiplied. 12 times what? Yeah, but don't just believe in 12 times 3. It can even be 12 times 3. That was just for God to highlight for you that actually multiplication happens. See, there's no way verse can be 12, 24 and it's talking about what? Yes. Glory be to God. But your seed will rise again. I mean, look at Abraham. You understand? Abraham, he saw the seed of his son. The Bible says figuratively, in a sense, he killed him. He died. Amen. And the moment he was able to do that in his heart, then God gave him a promise of a harvest. Talked about multiplying his descendants. Let's read that in Genesis chapter 22 as we close. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 to 18. Amen? Your seed will what? Will rise again. Amen? And I know what I'm talking about because I've experienced it. I know what I'm talking about. I've worked with, since 18 years now. I got born again in 98. So I know what I'm talking about. Amen? It says that now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love. Amen? Just say, Jesus was the only begotten son of the Father. Then he says, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Amen? Jesus, by the way, died on that same one, mountain. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Amen? By the way, Isaac is the one who carried the wood on which he was going to die, in the same way that Jesus carried the cross on which he was going to die. By the way, you can use this story to preach to a Muslim, especially on that idea for sacrificing animals, because this is the story with a youth. But you can engage a guy on this. Say, is it a coincidence that Isaac was the only son? You know, even just like that, you know, that he carried the wood, and just like, you know, but I've engaged Muslims on this, and guys, shut up. Now, what they are waiting for you, rather what they are waiting for now, is now for you to go and get them born again. For me, I've done my work with them. Glory be to God. They are waiting for you. So after here, go. And what? Verse 4, then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, the lad, and I'll go yonder and worship. And we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is a lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. Other versions actually say that Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself. God will provide what? Himself. That's why Paul said that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. God is the one who died on the cross. Amen? The Trinity man. So he said God will provide himself. You know? So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Isaac didn't fight. Just said, Jesus willingly went to the cross. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. The ram was caught by what? The crown of thorns. Amen? The crown of thorns. Man, this story is powerful. You can use it to get someone born again. Just like Jesus, with the crown of thorns. So that was the same thing with the ram. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. So you see, the sacrifice of Jesus is linked with provision. Just in this verse. It is linked with provision. Amen? And again, that's one of the reasons why Jesus died. For you to be provided for abundantly. Glory to God. Then the angel of the Lord called Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself. Now here is the harvest. Say, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord. Because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, then he says, blessing I will bless you, multiplying I will multiply you, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. Amen? Amen? Then he says that in your seed, now that is Jesus, that is Jesus, in your seed, all the nations shall be blessed. Glory be to God. All the nations. Now that's why you're blessed. With the blessing of Abraham. Glory be to God. Amen. He said, because you have obeyed my voice. Amen. The seed Abraham sowed, it rose again. You understand? It rose again. As a testimony that your seed must rise again. You know, as long as heaven and earth endures, seed time, where's Albert? Seed time and harvest shall never cease. Seed time and harvest shall what? Never cease. John, help me. Seed time and what? God wants you to know that your seed will what? Rise again. Glory be to God. Amen? Your seed will what? John, help me. Will rise again. So let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, precious Father. We thank you for the word that has come forth. We thank you for we shall eternally be grateful for what you have done. Just thank God. Just thank God for what he did for you on the cross. Thank you for the blood. Thank him. Thank him. Today especially, thank him for provision. Thank him for you know that you will be abundantly supplied. And in this month that is coming, you have to see financial increase in the name of Jesus. You have to see increase in your finances in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for your children. I thank you in the name of Jesus for you're mindful of that which they have sowed. You're mindful of their labor of love. And you're faithful. You shall give them that which accompanies salvation, that which for which Jesus died. Father, we thank you. We thank you, for there shall be no poor amongst us, for every one of us experiences abundance, experiences the joy of the harvest. We thank you, Father. We glorify your name. In Jesus' name.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.